This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. This is part two of a four-part conversation talking about the future. My guest is a futurist. His name is Andy Hines. He's the director of consulting at Social Technologies, an international research firm. Would it be fair to say that most executives would think more in terms of numbers? In 10 years, 15 years, we see the market being this big. And that's the way they think in those numbers, and really don't visualize what the world's going to be like at that point.
Well, I don't want to be that harsh on executives, because in our experience, leaders especially high level leaders are typically thinking about the big picture. I think the challenge they typically have is battling the tug of the present. So I think what foresight firms can kind of help that process along and provide some structure and tools that enable executives to kind of channel that their thinking into forms or into processes that the organization can understand. So it's not like they're not thinking about it, but it's just hard to get it on the priority.
Yeah, the right now is occupies most of their time and hard to.
Yeah.
I gotcha. How far into the future are we really talking about? When you have a project like this, what sort of time frame are we talking about?
Well, that varies, of course, but I would say most of our projects are fairly short term. I mean, the 2 to 5 year future, and a lot of it depends on kind of the product life cycle. Something like really complex, like an airplane, has a longer product cycle than something like a breakfast cereal, for instance.
Uh-huh.
So the one thing that dictates the look into the future is kind of the length of the product life cycle, and another is just it's just the nature of the organization. A government agency, for instance, tasked with looking at for instance, emerging terror threats has quite a long perspective and wants to be thinking about things that they're not, thinking the unthinkable, if you will.
I see.
So I would say most of our projects are 2, 5, and 10 years, and occasionally we'll get one that really looks out a generation, 20-ish years into the future.
I see. Do you particularly like those?
Yeah.
How did you know? Well, you're in the field, I guess. The more into the future you go, the better it ought to be, I guess.
Yeah, it's just it's a little different. There's room to speculate. Just a little more freedom, intellectual freedom, and I think we find that fun.
I imagine. Well, now as a futurist. And I think of Jules Verne or something. I guess, was he a futurist? I guess he probably wasn't called a futurist in his time, but I guess he is today.
Yeah, I think if we had had an academic program back then, he probably would have gone in and passed the exams. I mean, certainly in practice, that's exactly the kind of, that's a prototypical futurist. I mean, he brought the future to life in his story, so absolutely.
Uh-huh.
We go back as far as we sometimes say that the first futurists might be considered the Marquis de Condorcet in France. And so there's a rich tradition of thinking about the future. I think what's a little different since about probably World War II, that we've really gotten more systematic about it. I think that's really the main difference from the past. Is now we have a set of tools and processes and even curriculums to do this.
Uh-huh. Now, do you personally have basic perceptions of the future? What kind of advances we're going to be seeing, 20, 30 more years down the road? I mean, such as information technology, how that's going to evolve or other things?
Sure. We think about the future of particular areas all the time, and there's probably like a company viewpoint on some things, and then there's individual viewpoints on some things. One of the books that we wrote about 10 years ago was How Science and Technology Would Reshape or Would Play Out in the Year 2025. So I've only got 15 years before I'm going to have to leave town, and before it's all on paper, right?
I see.
One of the interesting things that we often talk about, there's a science fiction author, William Gibson, who said, the future is already here, it's just unevenly distributed. So we can find hints of what the future is going to look like really in the present. And when you're thinking of like information technology, for instance, if you wanted to get a peek of what, you know, virtual worlds and virtual reality are going to look like, you could go visit sites such as Second Life or Zaadz is another one, Z-A-A-D-Z. And these are, you know, kind of early stage examples of what the, you know, what's going to be kind of the mainstream when we look 20 years out. I mean, our children or our children's children will just think this is completely, absolutely normal stuff, and to us it looks different.
We're going to pause here for a brief message.
I'm with Vinnie Verka, president of Flooring America. Vinnie, why should an independent retailer consider joining your group?
Well, they should consider joining Flooring America and Flooring Canada to become more profitable and to join a close-knit family of floor covering veterans who can help them build a better business. You know, Dave, we know we have the perfect mix of cutting-edge programs and proprietary brands, and when someone joins our team, they're in charge. They don't lose their individuality. They turbocharge it. They should give us a call to learn more at 800-252-9715. Remember, nothing ventured, nothing gained, and you have nothing to lose.
Like the things that we have today, I suppose somebody 25 years ago, most people anyway, would never have imagined such items. I'm just thinking of, you were talking about kids with the iPods that they have. I suppose it would be difficult to imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, certainly if you were going to ask, you know, what are the kind of key characteristics of or skills that we'd say are for being a futurist, imagination is certainly high amongst there, and I think systems thinking or ability to see patterns would be another one. But, you know, it's interesting that, you know, when we look to 25 years out, we think, oh my gosh, how would we possibly live in that kind of a world? But really, the human being is amazingly adaptable, and these changes don't come overnight. They come slowly, gradually, over time. And we, you know, some adapt faster, some slower, but we have lived through in our lifetimes an incredible amount of change. But, you know, I think most of us have managed it quite, you know.
Yeah.
Even my mom is on a cell phone now, so there's hope for all of us.
You know, every time I think of a cell phone, I think of the old Dick Tracy
right.
comic strip with his little, what did he have, on his wrist, didn't he?
Right, and, you know, and that kind of a gadget, if people decide that's useful, we'll have it. And, you know, that's another thing that we tend to, when you look at sort of forecasts of what the technology future will look like, we often forget that it's really up to people whether we like this or not. I mean, we've had the capability to have video phones for 30 years now, and people have said, eh, don't really want that. So just because we have a technological capability doesn't necessarily mean we're going to do it.
I see. Now, these perceptions that you have, what technology we'll be using on down the road, what a typical house or office may look like 20, 30 years down the road, how do you get from here to there? I mean, there's so many moving parts, it would seem, so many areas that would affect that. What process do you personally go through to arrive at, you know, at a perception of the future?
Well, you know, I think you may be a futurist in training, because I think that the way you phrase that question is really the first step. You suggested that there's lots of different moving parts, and certainly one of the first things we do is map out the system. So when you're looking at the future of an office space, the first thing we would do is say, what is the system map of an office space? What does it look like? Who are the stakeholders or who are the users? And kind of get that all down into some kind of a visual representation. And then we look at what are the trends and driving forces and issues that are influencing the various parts of that system. And then, you know, how do they all come together and potentially create different possibilities in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right to note that there's lots of different factors, and really a lot of what we do is we're pretty good at kind of pulling that stuff together and seeing and understanding how it will interact.
Uh-huh. Now, What types of goals do you normally arrive at when you first sit down with a client? Do you, you know, you obviously have specific goals. What's a typical goal?
Well, I guess if we were going to do some new business development, we might be looking at, you know, often a company will come to us and say, you know, our pipeline is empty. We have no really new business ideas, or we're not sure where to go next. Can you help us identify some opportunities by, you know, helping us understand trends that we might be able to take advantage of? So a lot of times the questions, and sometimes they're even fuzzier than that, is we sometimes get, you know, we think we should be paying more attention to future issues, but we're not sure which ones. Can you help us decide? You know, because every organization has, you know, a laundry list of things it could be paying attention to, but what really matters?
I see.
And a lot of times we'll help that. What are the issues you ought to be paying attention to?
I see. And then you rely on them to talk about their industry and what developments have happened there and what their thoughts are? I mean, I suspect that has to play some kind of major role.
Oh, absolutely. It depends, you know, certain relationships, you know, certainly turn out differently. Sometimes a client will kind of say, you know, go away and here's the problem and come back with the answer. I think we're seeing a lot less of that. And maybe 15 years ago when I was consulting, we saw more of that. I think we're seeing a lot more iteration and back and forth with our clients. They want to be involved and work. You know, from a consulting side, that's just great news, because the more information you can get from clients, the better. Because there's nothing worse than trying to guess. You know, we're not really sure what you want or need, and so we think it's this. But it's much better to know and to ask and to go back and forth and say, is this helpful? Is this in line with, is this going to be useful to you?
Uh-huh. This is going to conclude the second part of a four-part series looking at the future. My guest is a futurist. His name is Andy Hines. He's the director of consulting at Social Technologies, an international research firm. We'll air the third part of this conversation tomorrow. You're listening to Floor Radio.